Happy Wednesday, everybody. We've got so many listener questions that we got to get right to it, especially questions about the Walt Disney World resorts. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that's our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone 7 Plus. And I can see that we're down to only 110 days to go until the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 4.0 on the Disney Fantasy. We're heading out on the Western Caribbean for 7 nights of fun at sea. And I can tell you, I get excited every time I take a look at my phone. When I get a text message, a social media post comes popping up, somebody says something smart on social media, I get a phone call, I can just look down and see the badge right there, the notification icon, tell me how many days I have to go. Then, of course, I click inside the app, see great pictures from previous podcast cruises. I pick the colors. I actually changed it to Cardinal Red here lately. I pick the font. I just get pumped up for that next trip, and you can do the same. So drop by virtualmickey.com today and download Days to Go WDW.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1148 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. It's Wednesday. That means it's time to check in for some of your listener questions here on your midweek. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today, Ricky is not with us. She'll be back on Friday. No worries. But we have the tag team of Mike and Pam. Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, joining me today. How's it going, Pam?
It's going great. It's Wednesday. We like Wednesdays because that means you're halfway through the week. And spring is coming. So they say.
Yeah, we hope. I thought it was spring already back in February. And, Mother Nature can play cruel tricks on us this time of year.
Yes, she can. She can be angry. So anyways, I guess we just didn't get enough winter this year.
You know what? I think, though, I can tell you this, because we've been dealing with this for the past, a couple weeks since we announced those great group rates for Marathon Weekend, and people are swooping those up. And I have a feeling that had to do with that big snowstorm that happened about 10 days ago. It's like, you know what? I need to book a trip. I mean, I get that way. Do you get that? I get that way in the spring, too. Like, I can see, like, summer's around the corner. I want to get down to Florida, and because that's my happy place. And that's, I always associate Disney with summer, because that's kind of how I grew up with, being a teacher and all that stuff and having summers off. But, a good northeastern snowstorm always gets people thinking about Walt Disney World, I think.
I think that's absolutely true. When you get bad weather, you think, I want to be somewhere where the weather is, so much better. But the other thing I think for me in particular, it's if I get bad weather, I think about it. If I get good weather, I think about it. If it's getting to be fall, I think about it. If it's getting to be winter, I think about it. So I don't think I have any one time I think I want to go on a Disney vacation. I think it's all the time.
That's all I'm thinking about right now. We're just a shade over 100 days till the Be Our Guest podcast cruise on the Disney Fantasy this time around. I mean, the ultimate ship in the Disney Cruise Line fleet, 7 nights in the Western Caribbean. What are you looking forward to most on this cruise? Just real quick.
So it's funny because since I'm a Platinum Castaway Club member, I already got to make some of my arrangements. So that was really cool. I did Palo. I actually did Remy brunch. There's going to be a few of us that are going to that. Joanne and Jerry expressed some interest, and Phil and Teresa. And I think Julie may be coming with us too. So I think that I haven't done that yet. I haven't done the brunch. And that looks really cool. But what I'm most looking forward to is being back on the Fantasy. I am a girl that, while I love the classic ships, they're a little smaller. I'm a fan of the newer ships. I like the bigger size of the ship. That's not intimidating to me. Or I think a bigger ship just means more opportunities to do things. Yeah. I mean, there's just more public space, and I love that. So I love the Fantasy. I think that, Mike, you're going to be blown away. The adult areas on the Fantasy, I think, are just awesome. The fact that They have the tube. I mean, that in itself is really, really cool. And that replaces, of course, Evolution from the Dream. And it just has a British theme and it's really cool. There's just so many things about this ship that I love. So I think that that's what I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to enjoy seeing the fantasy through the eyes of folks who have never been on it before. And I think that's why this was such a great opportunity for our group to experience the ship. And just a little over 100 days and we're there.
I know.
So what's that called when you, because this will be my fourth out of the four ships. I'll complete the cycle there. I've been on the Magic, the Wonder, and the Dream. So the fantasy will... it's not the triple crown, it's the quadruple, I don't know, whammy or something. So
no whammy.
Yeah, no whammies. No whammies. All right, well, anyway, let's get to listener questions. That's why you checked in. Just a little catching up there. But we have Megan Dawes. She's down in Raleigh, North Carolina with the first question saying, "Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Thanks for all your help and hard work with your wonderful podcast episodes. As a fellow teacher, walking and running have become my de-stressors, so your podcast helps me get my Disney fix and help me get in my extra miles. I'm hoping to do my first Run Disney event this year and love hearing all about your and your listeners' experiences. I wanted to ask about switching an existing reservation to Caribbean Beach. We currently have a July trip booked for Port Orleans Riverside and wanted to switch to Caribbean Beach due to us being in the park so often and for the big cost savings with the $75 gift card offer right now. Since we currently have a reservation, I'm not sure if we'll be allowed to get the $75 gift card if we switch. I've called Disney and gotten mixed answers on this, so wanted to see what you guys thought. The $75 will pay for my husband and I to upgrade to annual passes, plus a few rounds of margaritas at La Cava. Thanks again for sharing the magic with all your listeners, Megan." All right, Pam, so, you know, this was kind of an interesting take. I was glad this one came in just so we could have the conversation here because we do work with so many guests. And, you know, Caribbean Beach is going through more of a major, I would say, a renovation that's going to impact the guests more than Coronado Springs, you know, because there's more public areas down. You know, services are being, you know, switched around, resources. They're putting food places in the villages rather than the main building over at Caribbean Beach. So what do you say to Megan here and anybody else that may be thinking, you know what, I really just use my room as a place to sleep and shower. This Caribbean Beach might not affect me too much. I mean, is it something you could kind of go the opposite way than most people are thinking?
So... oh, I'm so torn on what to even advise in this space, right? Because I know that there are, you know, lots of people who really wouldn't be that impacted by this. I know that they've made this offer to guests who are already booked there during that time and for, you know, and for guests who are making a new reservation as well, in some cases too. I do not know that they would offer it if you changed reservations to go there. That's just not something that I have personal experience with. And it's funny that she has gotten different, you know, replies from Disney in this space, because I think it will probably depend on the cast member that she's working with when she makes those reservations. For me, the changes that, or the impacts because of the renovation at Caribbean Beach probably wouldn't affect my family that much. Except for, I think breakfast is challenging. If you can't really get something that you want at your resort, there are really few places in the parks that serve breakfast. So that's the thing I think that would impact me and my family the most. But if that's not the case for you, it may be something that you want to explore. There's been a lot of discussion out there about whether or not the $75 gift card will be honored if the guest is able to add a promotion onto their stay at a later time. And I've heard all kinds of answers on that too. I think the last final answer was that they would get to keep the $75 gift card too. But I also wonder if the promotions will be limited in that space. So I think there's just a lot of unknown. I can see you wanting to kind of take advantage of that. And all you can do, if that's what you want to do, just give it a try and see what happens. I know that our agents have been really advocating for their guests, making sure that they have exactly what works for them, because each person is just, it's just such an individual thing. And hopefully if you are working with a cast member at Disney, they'll be able to help you too.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, what I've been, you know, because with this first, you know, the $75 Disney gift card per night for the staying at Caribbean Beach to kind of compensate for the construction, the refurbing, they're making the areas better. But when this started coming out, obviously all the agents were talking with guest services at Disney and trying to get a consistent answer on this. And what I was getting was, yeah, the guests with new reservations and the guests who are currently booked at Caribbean Beach were getting this offer through the end of the year. But it's one of those things that, you know, when you talk about it, is it going to impact you? Now, what I would suggest, and this is just kind of me putting on my hat where I help people plan vacations and try to do the best I can for them and put myself in their shoes. I really wouldn't want to put a first-timer family at Caribbean Beach right now, because when I think of, what a Walt Disney World vacation is for somebody that's going down and that's seen the commercials on TV, and they really do highlight the resorts and the commercials many times, is, you know, you have that. While Caribbean Beach does have quiet pools and you can still swim, the feature pool is awesome. You know, it's pirate themed. I mean, that's what a kid's going to look for. You know, I think one of the escapes of a Walt Disney World resort is the food court and the shopping right off the food court, and just the energy of the main area. So with that being closed, you know, even though you can get food in a few places around the resort and kind of some, temporary locations, I really wouldn't want to put a first-timer family there. But for somebody that's, like they said, like Megan, that's just using it for a bed and a shower, it may not be that bad of a situation, like you said. But I would just discourage somebody who's going to really see what Walt Disney World's all about, because you say this all the time, Pam, the resort is probably 60 to 70% of the experience.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree. And I think that what you mentioned there, the pool area and the ability to have food and drink and shopping within walking distance of that main food area or the main pool area is really part of the experience. I mean, it's all well and good if you can sit by the pool, but it gets about 100 times better when you can sit by the pool with a drink, or sit by the pool with a cookie, or sit by the pool with, you know, I mean, what happens when the kids get hungry, or, you know, adults get hungry? It makes it a bit more challenging. And I think just having a grab and go spot is not quite the same as having the main dining. And, you know, for my family, I think the other thing that would really impact us, and something I didn't really mention, was the fact that there just won't be a table service restaurant available at that time. And we typically, you know, no matter where we're staying, we typically end up eating, you know, one meal at the table service restaurant there at the resort. So it just happens for one reason or another, right? What if you have an evening where you're just tired and you just don't feel like going anywhere? You know, it's right there. So just so much to think of. But I absolutely agree with you that I wouldn't want to put a first timer or even someone who hasn't been there in a while there, because I want them to get the full Disney experience. And not that they won't get the full Disney experience there, but I just want it to be, you know, as pristine of an experience as they can get. So,
because yeah, that's what sold me. My first time was at French Quarter. And I mean, I arrived at night, you know, for the first time staying on site. And it was just like, whoa, this place is awesome. You know, like I was totally transformed within 5 minutes of walking into the resort, and the jazz was playing. I'm walking through those little skinny streets with the, you know, rutabaga street signs and the lamps. And I mean, the buildings of different colors. I was just like, this is awesome. I mean, that's how this all started right here. Here I am on a podcast. I mean, I want that for everybody too. So one other thing I will say, okay, just last thing on that question, because I know a lot of people do have this quandary with, okay, what am I doing in the moderate kind of field here for the next maybe, you know, year or so. Don't sleep on Old Key West. You know what? I'm thinking that might be a good option, you know, for similar prices, a little bit more expensive because it's a DVC and it's, you know, the deluxe villas. But, you know, I think that it's got, with Olivia's, it's a little different. But, I mean, I think it offers kind of the same vibe as a Caribbean Beach. Would you agree there that maybe that would be something to open your eyes to that maybe you might not be thinking of?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Old Key West is a great sleeper of a resort. And this is something that I tell folks all the time. The great thing about Old Key West is typically when Disney releases a promotion, we can get them a room at Old Key West with that promotion. And it makes it a great deal too. And the fact that it's in the deluxe villa category means that whatever percentage off that Disney is offering, and it's usually tiered based on the type of resort that you're staying at, we're going to be able to get the highest percentage off at Old Key West, because it is a Disney deluxe villa resort. So it's a great option.
Ooh, and Olivia's is so good. I am just, Scott has gotten me hooked on Olivia's. Like, he's like, we got to go to Olivia's. Like, we've been to Olivia's the last 3 days. I know, we got to go again. I'm like, all right, let's go. Uber, let's go. All right. That's a long answer to that one, but thanks for the question, Megan. Jennifer's up next. She says, hi, Mike and ladies. I recently booked a breakfast reservation at Be Our Guest prior to park opening. I got this idea from a listener on your show this past week. I have two questions. Our reservation is at 8:30. How early will we be able to get into the park? Also, how early will we be able to get a bus from our resort, or will we have to make alternative transportation arrangements? This is not an extra magic morning for the Magic Kingdom, so my guess is the buses wouldn't start running until about 8 o'clock, right? Thank you so much. I've gotten so many great ideas and tips, plus my trips from your show. That's from Jen. So, okay, two questions. Well, first of all, let's address the when does Disney transportation typically start? Is it still 90 minutes prior to park opening? That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it's 90 minutes to an hour before park opening. But if you stop by the concierge desk at your resort, they will be able to tell you. They typically have an early bus just for those who have some kind of early breakfast reservation. And stop there and they'll be able to tell you exactly when that bus is going to be there to take guests for those early reservations. And the other thing to note is, too, that Disney often has been doing altering park hours kind of closer to the travel dates. And we have seen a lot of times when they change that opening of the park. So make sure that you stay on top of those park hours to see if that is changed.
And the other question she has is, how early can she get into the park? She has an 8:30 ADR. Let's say the park opens at 9. Now, I can't remember because I haven't done like a Crystal Palace or a Be Our Guest or anything like that early before park opening in the last couple of years, I don't think. I'm getting kind of Ricky, I guess, on us here. But and I'm thinking about getting soft. No, usually I get up and run. But I know that they check to confirm that you have an ADR. Usually one of the turnstiles, usually over to the far left, is where people with early morning ADRs will enter. But is it one of those things that say you have, say the park opens at 9 and you have a 8:45 ADR, will they still let you in like when they're letting in the 8 o'clock ADR people? Or is it kind of like you get to get in 20 minutes before? How's that all work? Is it just like the masses? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like 15 minutes prior to your ADR time that they'll let you in. And they are kind of strict about it. They don't just let everyone in at like, say, 8 o'clock. I mean, they absolutely look you up. And if the reports I've been hearing is lately, it's been about 15 minutes before. So.
All right. Sounds great. All right. Erica's up next. Hey, Mike and team, I just stumbled upon your podcast last week and I'm loving it. Well, welcome to the party, Erica. You're only 1,100 shows behind. But plenty of time. No worries. Just by the 10th anniversary, be caught up, please. You got a year. All right. She says, my husband and I have a once in a lifetime opportunity to go on an all expense paid trip to Disney in April. What? Man, doing nice,
that's
Erica.
Not
I like
bad.
It. Yeah, no kidding. That's why she found the show, I guess. Neither of us have been since we were very young. So we are considering ourselves first timers and we want to get the absolute most out of our trip as we can. We are staying in Coronado Springs with park hopper tickets and the deluxe dining plan. The catch is that we only have 2 days in the parks. We are also planning to go for a longer stay in September, but that will be on our own dime, so we'll most likely have base tickets in the basic dining plan. My question is, I've been advised to use this trip to really focus on all the food options that Disney has to offer that might not be budget-friendly for my future trips, even if that means losing park time. Also, since we're kind of late in the game by Disney planning standards, a lot of the more popular restaurants do not have reservations open. Currently, we do have a reservation for lunch at Be Our Guest one day and dinner at Akershus one night. What are your thoughts on food versus touring this trip? Also, I would love some suggestions for making the most of our dining credits. Thanks, friends. Erica. Well, Erica, first of all, hey, if you ever need somebody else to go on an all-expenses-paid trip, I'll do a little research for you, and I could probably give you better answers after that trip. No, just kidding. You're going to have a great time. But, this is a great question because they have the deluxe dining plan this trip. They probably won't have it later on in September, but it's late in the game, and there's, a lot of these prime ADRs are gone. So talk her through this one, Pam. What are your thoughts when you heard this?
So I think one of the great things about the deluxe plan is that if you're having a vacation that incorporates maybe some of the signature restaurants, some character meals, and other restaurants that are more expensive, you can actually save money using the deluxe dining plan. Now, she's lucky in that it's been being given to her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have to worry about whether it's a good deal or not. But it does work out to be a good deal for some folks who are interested in that. And I just think that it opens like a whole new world of opportunity. First of all, because oftentimes the signature restaurants will have availability to make that ADR even last minute. So that's a cool thing. But the other thing to know about the deluxe dining plan is that unlike the other Disney dining plan, table service restaurant credits include an appetizer, which is not included in the other ones, in addition to the entree, the non-alcoholic beverage, and the dessert. So I like that about it too, because it just gives you access to different foods there. And I would make sure that I would use at least some of my credits for some of the signature dining opportunities there. There's just so many good ones to choose from. I think what you just need to do is take a look at the menus. You can go over to the Mounts for Less, and I know that those folks keep the menus updated, and see which ones appeal to you. But make sure you look at that list of signature restaurants and use some of your credits there. It still does take 2 credits, but you get 3 credits each day. And I think at least, a couple of those days, I would use 2 credits on a signature meal. And then use my other one for either a late breakfast or early lunch. And I think you won't walk away hungry.
Yeah, I think that's what you got to watch, even with the deluxe dining plan, is that you try, if you don't use some signature meals for those entitlements, is that it's almost too much food. You know, you're like, you're eating all the time and you're eating heavy table service meals, where if you, use one regular 1 credit meal and then do a signature, I mean, that's high quality eating, and that's also plenty of food to sustain you. Plus you have snacks. You know what I would say, like, that's a good point though, that the signatures don't tend to book up as quickly as the others. So that's to her advantage there. But I would also say, like, the one question I don't have that she didn't mention in the email was, she said she has 2 days in the parks, but it doesn't mention how long her trip is. You know, maybe it's a week long, but for some reason they can only go in 2 days, or I don't know, maybe it's only like a 4-day weekend or something. But Akershus, that's a solid reservation. You really enjoy that one. That's good. 1 credit meal. That's a really good value on the 1 credit meals. Be Our Guest, same thing. So you'll enjoy that. But, you know, the joy of this is that if they're there for 4 or 5 days, only going into the parks too, you know, your favorite signature restaurants, Pam, are outside the parks. You know, you got places like Flying Fish, California Grill, Jico. You know, you can go on and on. But I mean, that's what when you push her towards those restaurants on a trip like this, and then in September, you know, now you have lots of lead time. It's on your own dime. Kind of look for the ones that are good values when it comes to that trip.
Yeah, absolutely. Look for the 1 credit good value restaurants. And that's most of the character dining. What you will need 2 credits for to enjoy are Cinderella's Royal Table. And then there's also options in the dinner show space too, for, you know, to experience some of those. So, I mean, it just gives you so many options. And I think like a trip that doesn't focus on the parks is absolutely not only doable, but absolutely enjoyable.
Yeah,
I mean, hello, who doesn't want to eat great meals on their vacation? I mean, that's what some vacations are, is people just going away and eating great meals. And at Disney World, you can do that and still have the parks. So
it's tempting though, when you haven't been there for so long like them, you know, like they said, they haven't been there since they were kids. So that's going to be, it's easier to do when you've been in the parks, you know, recently.
It's true.
Cause it's very true. I know that it's crazy in there sometimes. They're fun, but they're crazy. So have a good time. Let us definitely shoot an email when you get back and let us know what you thought. All right. AJ's up next. He's in Decatur, Georgia. Says, hi, Mike and company. Thanks for taking my question. I only started listening to the Be Our Guest podcast a few months ago, but it's now one of my favorite podcasts. And he says, humble request, please do an update on your best and worst restroom episode. Uh-oh, research. You know what? They turned one of the best restrooms into a photo pass site at the Magic Kingdom, the Tangled Toilets.
You can still go to the restroom.
Yeah, you can. Are you photobombing the lantern photo pass shots? I don't know. Like, you coming out, like, rubbing your hands, like, you know, after you put them in the hand dryer. Right. Like, you're still rubbing them, like, oh, I think they're almost dry. That's kind of crazy.
You see family members waiting for the one family member who's still in there. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Sir, could you go in and check on my son? He's been in there for 12 minutes. Has he got the frying pan or what's going on?
I know. It's so funny. But yeah, they thankfully have added some good restrooms at the parks. But yeah, I think we're going to need to. My favorite one is in America, in Epcot.
Yeah.
That's great one.
Way better. That's an improvement. Well, think about the Fantasyland toilets. I mean, this is a mini episode for you right here, AJ. But I mean, they used to be like the worst, the ones that were next to Peter Pan. And now
they were horrible.
Now they're so good, they're selling pictures in front of them. I mean, Disney, come on. Now. That's how long we've been doing the show. We went from the worst to the best toilets right there within like 100 yards.
Disney knows how to change guest opinion about something, don't they?
Yeah, you think these toilets are bad? Wait till you see what we do with these toilets.
People are gonna
line up an hour long to get their picture taken in front of these toilets. And so, right. Let's see it. Boom, they did. So anyway, let's get to his question. He says, anyway, I'll be going down to Walt Disney World for an extra long weekend in mid-May to take advantage of the 4-park magic ticket. And I had a couple of questions that I hope y'all can help me with. Number one, I'm not entirely sure how to approach Epcot. AJ, I always go straight on, you know, right towards Spaceship Earth. You know, just right. Anyway, no, that's probably not what he meant. It's going to be a busy day as my girlfriend hasn't been there in almost 20 years. And even though I went back in 2015, it's my favorite park and would want to do and see as many attractions as possible. That being said, the Flower and Garden Festival will be happening during our visit, and it's definitely something we'd be interested in checking out. Since we only have one day at Epcot, what is your recommended plan of attack for that park? Okay, so he has two questions. That's the first one. So my advice on Flower and Garden, and this might be way different than yours, Pam, because I'm not like an HGTV guy. Pam's the one that fixes stuff at the house. I do the technical stuff. That's just, I don't like paint. I don't drywall. I'm not really, I should turn in my man card. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. And I don't really want to know how to do that kind of stuff. It doesn't interest me at all, and I'm not a gardener. You know, I just buy my, actually, we don't even go to the grocery store that often. We go out to eat a lot. So, you know, like, I don't even know about that stuff either. So really it's not I like seeing how beautiful Epcot is, because Epcot never looks better than during Flower and Garden. I know that much, but I just see things as I'm passing through and really enjoy just the beauty of the whole festival. But, you know, his girlfriend hasn't been in 20 years. It's his favorite park. They want to see and experience everything, but they have one day at Epcot during the festival. What advice do you give?
Oh, man, it's so rough. So I think, first of all, you have to decide if the food booths are a priority for you. And if so, you know, make sure you look at the menus online before you go down and see which ones you want to hit. Know that if you're going to visit the food booths, the earlier in the day that you can visit those booths, the better off you'll be, because the line just gets progressively longer until the evening, when it gets kind of long. So anyway, it's just something to think about there. There are lots of displays to see at Flower and Garden. So unlike Mike, I absolutely adore gardening. We put in an organic garden at my house every year. We have a compost pile. Well, it's actually a compost bin kind of thing that we use. I amend my soil regularly to see what works and what doesn't. And I just really enjoy the whole experience. It's so weird because at this house, as opposed to my last house, there are rocks. The landscaping is, instead of mulch, which was my last house, are rocks. So I don't get to like dig stuff up and move it as easily as I did. It's like quite the production to do it now. So I have to move rocks, then dig, then, you know, put rocks back. So I don't get to do that as much. But the gardening, I still do. And I love the displays there that they always have, first of all, some interesting ideas in terms of organic gardening and container gardening and on other subjects like that. But then just the floral displays that they have. I mean, Epcot looks great all year long, but during the Flower and Garden Fest, it looks about 100 times better. It's just stunning. All the things they managed to do with those flowers and the topiaries, you want to get photos of that, of those too. And the other things I would mention are the butterfly garden. It's just a really cool thing that you can walk through that area and there are all these butterflies flying around. They just do a great job of, again, edumatainment, right? Yeah. Showing us all what to do in a really entertaining way. And we're getting educated with when we hardly don't even notice it. So yeah. It's an awesome festival in my eyes.
It's included with your park admission.
Absolutely. That's the best part of it, right?
It's really small on your ticket. It's like on your magic band, like way teeny tiny, even smaller than the number that's on there. They got to use a magnifying glass for. Anyway, so, but he's, you know, they want to see everything besides the festival. So what I would say is this, you're going to want to have lunch and dinner in World Showcase. You got one day there. You love the park. Have two good meals in World Showcase. So schedule a lunch around noon because World Showcase starts opening up at 11. You know, have a, so what I would do, again, this is what everybody's going to do, though, and you're going to be battling the crowds, but try to hit Future World as much as you can right at Rope Drop. I would get a fast pass for Test Track, then do Soarin'. Soarin' isn't going to have as long of a line as Test Track. You know, save Spaceship Earth maybe till the end of the night, you know, maybe in the evening as the crowds move back towards World Showcase. But it's one of those things that you're going to do some crisscrossing because I think you want to be back in World Showcase for lunch, spend the afternoon and evening in World Showcase, but then maybe say 7 or 7:30, head up to Future World, finish the stuff you didn't get done, and then catch a good place for Illuminations. But you know, I think that the draw for a lot of people is the food. In World Showcase, you can get some great meals. And so I'd say pick your two favorite and do lunch and dinner there. But that way you can still see all the attractions, see Illuminations, and, you know, get to spend some time in the countries. Because if you don't enjoy World Showcase for what it is, you're really missing, one of the selling points of Epcot, I think.
I agree. And just having you talk about Epcot now makes me want to go there. Like, every time I talk about or think about Epcot, it's like I want to be there right now.
Let's go. Okay. This podcast is all over. Right. No, just kidding. He's got a second question. He says, we're staying at Port Orleans Riverside. Since they don't have a gym, I'm considering taking some light fitness equipment, such as a jump rope, to get in a quick workout. Is there an area at the resort that could serve as a good place to exercise? I don't like working out in hotel rooms, but I also would like to minimize making a spectacle of myself. Thanks again, and keep up the great work, AJ from Decatur. All right, AJ. Well, you know what? The good thing about Riverside is there's a lots of kind of like tucked away lawns. Now, there's, if you're staying in the mansions, okay, there's two sections to Riverside, the mansions and the bayou, Alligator Bayou. But the mansions have kind of a big central lawn that's really beautiful and landscaped well. But if you go on the opposite side of those buildings, there's kind of like little lawns that are tucked away between the buildings and the parking lots. I would just take a jump rope out there. There's like lots of trees. You can do it in the shade. That's what I would do. Alligator Bayou has all kinds of places you could hide and jump out and scare people. So you could definitely not make a spectacle of yourself out there. So, Pam, could you think of anything else? I mean, jump rope's easy to take, and it's a quick way to get a good workout.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to folks who make a spectacle of themselves all on a weekly time. Basis on a podcast. So I think we're having challenges with this concept.
On We wear bright yellow shirts and make spectacles of ourselves all the time. We're like human highlighters. You know, I mean, what do you expect?
Human highlighters doing dorky things. Exactly. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's hard for us to grasp this. No, what Mike said is absolutely right. And you know, I would go over toward the Alligator Bayou section, too. There's some great locations there that are kind of out of the way. And if you head over to the pool area, sort of behind the pool area, there's like a kids play area. But if you're there like in the morning, it's very quiet there. There aren't many people up and about. Kids aren't on the play set. The pool isn't even open yet. And I think that's a great place too. It kind of gives you a path and some open space to try that too.
Or you could just go the total opposite way and just like, you know, don't wear a shirt. Like, you know, put into like my grandpa used to do in the 70s, like not the sunscreen, but like the tanning oil, like where you're all shined up there, some aviator sunglasses and your jump rope and just, you know, go right by the food court.
Be that dude in your neighborhood. The second you start mowing the grass, the shirt's off.
That's it. Sir, it's only 45. I don't care. I'm hot.
That's right.
It's hot out here.
Like, how did that dude have time to get hot yet? He's been out there for like 0.3 seconds.
Exactly. All right, we gotta get to the last question here before we get in any trouble. That's why Ricky keeps... Does Ricky keep us honest? I don't think so. Usually she's part of the problem. I don't know what's going on today. Anyway, Mel Oliver has the last question. Hi, Mike and ladies. I'll be able to start booking ADRs for an upcoming trip in September soon, and I'm curious what you all would suggest for a fun character meal with my 2-year-old daughter. In February, we went to our first ever character meal at Chef Mickey's for breakfast, and we all loved it. We're open to pretty much any of the restaurants. Do you have a preference between breakfast, lunch, or dinner? Thanks, everyone. My wife and I love your show. and Mel is from his iPhone because it doesn't have a location. Just sent from my iPhone. So thanks, Mel, for emailing from your iPhone. We'd love it like that. Okay, so character meals for a two-year-old. Now, two-year-old's young, obviously, but they can definitely get up, dance, and they remember. You get great pictures. That's the big thing as a parent. Okay, so I'm going to go with two. I'll give one, then you give one, and then you can give a second if you want. One that that's really growing on me lately, Garden Grill for breakfast at Epcot in the Land Pavilion. Great food, awesome tater tots. I had three the last time I was there because I was ill. But that was because of the race. Nothing to do with the food. But great character interaction. You get Farmer Mickey, Chippendale, and I think, is Pluto there? I think Pluto's there. Was I hallucinating? Yep. Yeah, Pluto was there. It was a big dog. So, you know, great pictures. The restaurant rotates. You're in a Future World Pavilion. It's really good and it's decent value. So I would say Garden Grill for breakfast is one of my picks. Pam, what say you for a two-year-old character meal?
So for the two-year-old who likes princesses, I'm going to suggest the brand new Bon Voyage Adventure Breakfast at the Trattoria Al Forno. You're going to be able to see couples. So like Ariel and Prince Eric. And, you know, I think that's a really cool concept. It's something that's not really like any other character meal. Now, this is only going to be available for breakfast, but what will happen is you'll start with you'll get fresh fruit and pastries, and then you'll have your choice of different entrees. And we ate there, Mike, in January, and it was a great breakfast.
So I mean, good. Twice. So we ate there twice, like in 3 days. It was so good.
It was really good. And thankfully, a lot of those things are holding over to the new menu. They just have some really interesting things. And one of them that I'm looking at the menu right now on the Mouse for Less, it's called the Shipwreck Al Forno. And this was something that I think you got. It was the calzone. That was like, breakfast calzone.
Yeah, it was a hot pocket is what it was. That's what I kept calling it. It was like, just like a real fancy hot pocket, but it tasted way better than a hot pocket.
And it was huge.
It was gigantic. And I ate the whole thing.
I think you could have fed a whole family.
No, I ate the whole thing because I've been running that weekend. And then the next day I ate a whole breakfast pizza. And I mean, that thing could have served eight. And I ate the whole dang thing that day too.
But there's some really interesting looking things here in addition to, you know, some more tame breakfast items. So that's one that I would, you know, could recommend. And I think that it's something that's going to appeal to a two-year-old. I think it'll be fun.
Scott has already suggested that we have a big meal there the day before the podcast cruise because it's called Bon Voyage.
I think he included me on the ADR because I got a notice of it.
Oh, there you go. See, look, I didn't know that. What? I wasn't even included. No, just kidding. That's a good idea, though.
You know, you weren't invited.
Yeah, I'm always the last
Sorry,
to know.
Scott.
That's a story of my life. You know, what? You guys are going where? Huh? Oh, that's fun. I wish I could go. No, the other one I would suggest that I've really liked is the Ohana breakfast with Lilo and Stitch, Mickey and Pluto over it, obviously, at the Polynesian. Just really solid food. You know, they give you some pastries and stuff, family style, at the middle of your table. Then they just keep bringing out just the traditional breakfast stuff, hash browns, eggs, I don't know what else, like biscuits and gravy. I mean, it was all kinds of good stuff. It's right up my alley, the food. And, you know, you don't get to see Lilo and Stitch a whole lot in the parks. And, you know, you can also get Mickey there, which I think everybody wants a picture with Mickey. And who doesn't like being at the Polynesian? So that would be my other one. And I am kind of a breakfast character meal person. I think, you know, it's a great way to start the day. So do you have any other suggestions? Because Bon Voyage was a good one.
Yeah, so I'm going to say my last suggestion's got to be the Royal Banquet Hall at Akershus and do, you know, that breakfast because it is really princess overload over there. And I can't imagine a two-year-old little girl who wouldn't want to see a whole bunch of princesses. And of course, there's always Jasmine for dads.
Yep.
That's the place that she appears. But, you know, and it is like Ohana. It's kind of an all you care to enjoy thing that comes right to your table. It's not really a buffet. Well, there is that Norwegian kind of smorgasbord.
Don't discount that. That stuff's good. I don't even know what it's called, but it's good with all that fish.
No, it
stuff.
Is. Like anything, anytime there's a little smoked salmon, I'm there. Like, I'm just saying, you know, that's a good time there. But then you also get to have, you know, more traditional breakfasts that come right there to you. And it's especially known for that potato casserole. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's cheesy and potato-y, and like, what more do you need to know about it? It's good. So anyways, that would be a good place to check out too. Plus, you do get to eat in Norway in that like castle-like area. And I think that that's a big plus too.
Yeah, it's way cooler looking even on the inside than it is on the outside. Like I went in the very first time in Akershus and I was like, whoa, this place is amazing on the inside. I mean, it looks kind of neat on the outside, but I think it just blends in with the rest of the pavilion. But when you go inside, it does have that castle feel to it. It's an experience is what that is. You know, a lot of these places, you know, a lot of the meals at Walt Disney World are experiences in themselves. But I'd say places like Akershus and like Garden Grill, you know, because you're the restaurant's rotating, you're in a pavilion. You know, I think some you get more atmosphere than others. So good call.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Show. You can send in your questions. We love answering them and talking about them here on the podcast. Send those to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com. You can pick up great apps for your Apple device, including Days to Go WDW and Theme Park News Disney Edition. So when you get up in the morning, you don't want to grab that cereal box. You've read what Cuckoo the Cocoa Puff Bird has said so many times. Those jokes are lame. Just keep up to date with everything happening with Disney, especially down at Walt Disney World. So much going on nowadays. And the best part about Theme Park News Disney Edition, it's a free app for your iOS device. So drop by today, grab it, make your Apple device a Disney device over at virtualmickey.com. Do give us some support on the Amazon. When you go to Amazon next time, please do go through our link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so much to everybody who has done that. It is really, really helping with the cost of the bandwidth and the hosting and all that good stuff. So I appreciate it each and every time you do that. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And we want to talk to you this week. You know what? It's, you know, everybody else is doing the March Madness thing during the day, so we'll talk some Disney with you. So hook us up, talk to us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike, and better yet, drop by the awesome Facebook group. Over 5,000 Disney fans over there each and every day. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And at the end of March here, we'd really love it if you could give us some iTunes ratings, some star ratings over there, and some reviews. That helps out so much to spread the word about the podcast. If you wouldn't mind, iTunes star ratings this week. If you have a few minutes, we'd be very, very appreciative for that. All right, so we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. Thanks so much for checking in. We'll be back again on Friday, and we'll even try to include Ricky on the show. I know, she'll be saying something. So we'll get her on, so she'll be back. No worries to all the Ricky fans, and I know that there's scores of you out there. Just kidding, Ricky's gonna kill me. But yeah, we'll be back on Friday. The whole crew will be together. So for Pam and Ricky, who's not here, but she's thinking of you, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.